Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Allsec Technologies Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aasim Bharde from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors, it's my pleasure to have you all on the Allsec Technologies Q4 FY23 earnings call. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Naozer Dalal, CEO, and Mr. Gaurav Mehra, CFO. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Dalal for his initial comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aasim. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining our earnings call today. Having been appointed as the CEO effective 16th of February this year, this is my first interaction with all of you, and to that effect, would start by briefly introducing myself. I've been a part of the banking and process outsourcing industries with a cumulative experience of excess of 33 years. Leading names like Standard Chartered Bank, the Prudential back office in India, the Tata Group, with my immediate prior role being with our group company, Connect Business Solutions, as its Deputy CEO. It is a privilege for me to now lead a respected name like Allsec, and I'm excited about the journey ahead for the company, as also excited about interacting with all of you today. The results and the presentation have already been updated on our website. Just by way of standard disclaimers, anything we say which refers to our outlook for the future is a forward-looking statement and must be read in conjunction with the risks that the company may face. I have with me Mr. Gaurav Mehra, Chief Financial Officer, who has joined the company in early January 2023 and who will twin with me in interacting with yourselves. We'll hand over to Gaurav for a brief minute to introduce himself. Gaurav, please.
Thank you so much, Naozer. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. As Naozer said, I joined the company about a quarter before and very glad and happy to connect with all of you as my first earning call. Just a bit of background about myself. I came from the technology background, and I remain associated with the companies like the XPO, if you have heard. That's a Thinksoft global technology company. It's a public listed company with close to 800 crore turnover. I remain associated for larger part with the technology companies, names like the HCL, CSC, and very glad to become the part of Allsec. It's been a fantastic journey for the first quarter and look forward for more upcoming interaction and sharing more information with the group and investor. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll start with a brief business overview and updates covering both our lines of businesses. The digital business services, what we call as DBS, and the human resources outsourcing, which we call HRO, and then followed up with detailed financial performance. Post that, we are happy to take your questions. To start with some banner headlines, yeah. We are pleased to share with you yet another set of robust results. For full year 2022, revenue from operations is at 391 crores, up 23% year-on-year, driven by growth in both verticals, DBS by 26% and HRO by 18%. Our PAT at INR 49 crores is up 37% compared to financial year 2022. Both our businesses, as mentioned, continue to perform exceedingly well, with the HRO business clearly emerging as a market leader this year. Our faceless process reached a high of 1.2 million per month, being, and this number being 20%-30% higher than competition. We have added new clients in three digits across the business compared to March 2022, with our total clientele being serviced being now just under 600. We clocked 100% occupancy in our Manila center this year, with additional seats being taken in April 2023. We were named amongst the 10 most promising HR technology service providers for 2022 and 10 best contact center companies to watch in 2023 by a leading industry publication. Our staff attrition at 8% was held at the same levels as last year, being near best in class in the domestic outsourcing industry. Our cash position and collections continue to be strong. Our collections for March at 42 crores were the highest ever monthly collections ever achieved. I will now provide a progress update on the two tech projects, SmartPay version 4 and the new HR management system which we are building, these being key strategic initiatives. We have used the time since the last earnings call over the last half year to enhance the scope basis informal market feedback from our customers, and therefore the timelines which my predecessor had mentioned in the last call have slipped marginally, at best by a quarter. That said, we are already running two customers in a parallel mode for SmartPay version 4, and the initial results have been encouraging. We will also commence a parallel run for one of our largest customers in June. The outcome of the same will determine the detailed migration plan for all our customers. The new HRMS tool too is in the final stages of user acceptance testing, with client migrations and parallel runs to follow from later in quarter two. We will now move to our new sales achievements for the last financial year. We have signed sales with annual contract values of approximately INR 45 crores in FY23, which is about a third higher compared to FY22. This is across HRO and DBS. We have added marquee logos, including targeted conversion of mapped competitor logos. With these acquisitions, we have been able to enter hitherto untapped vertical segments, for example, pharma for the domestic HRO business and healthcare for the international DBS business. As part of our sales efforts for the current year, we will continue to look at new domestic geographies, Western India particularly, cross-sell between our payroll, compliance and domestic DBS customers, and enhance efforts on inside sales and digital marketing for international DBS. We now move on and share two key trends which we saw in FY23, and I would like to share that, which has had a reasonable impact on the cost of running our HRO business and in turn led to margin compression, which you will hear in the latter part of the session too. The first being FY22 new sales saw significant lowering of the average one ATV, which in turn led to some diseconomies when they were transitioned into BAU in FY23. The second trend, you would also recollect, my predecessor mentioned this in the last earnings call, which he had highlighted, that whilst hiring was done in advance of the timing of revenue realization, the transition timelines themselves got elongated at times up to 3 to 6 months. We have reversed both these trends and have already seen higher ACVs in the new sales completed in FY23. We have also made some operational and systemic improvements to considerably shorten the transition timelines and have seen some good progress made in that starting March and including into April. I now move to our operations performance. Our meeting of the operational KPIs remains strong for both DBS and HRO, including improvements over what we did in FY22. In many cases, we have been named best partner in many of our customers' league tables in terms of the outsourcing which they do. We continue to provide value-added and digital services to our customers, including but not limited to point automations, bundling RPA in our solutions, etc. We continue to receive high and increasing feedback on social media, Glassdoor, Ambition Box, etc. A direct outcome of our continued focus on employee engagement, this being a key asset for us. With this, I hand you over to Gaurav, who will take us through the detailed financial performance.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I'll be back for the question and answer session. Over to you, Gaurav. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Naozer. I will read out the financial results first, and then we will go for the query thereafter. So I will be reading out the quarterly result first, and then we will see the year-over-year result. So our, as Naozer mentioned, that our this year goes as the year of the robust growth, both in the terms of the headcount growth as well as in the terms of the revenue. We have a headcount growth of 17% year-over-year, which is translating into the revenue growth of the 23%. Revenue for the quarter clocked at 108 crore, 100 crore of the last quarter, a growth of 7.9%. On year-over-year basis, we have a growth of 23% for the full year. Our EBITDA margin stands at 23.7 crore at the EBITDA percentage of 22%. Against the last quarter of 21 crore and 21%. PBT for the quarter stand at 15.2 crore with a PBT margin of 14.1%. PAT for the quarter is at the 12 crore with a PAT margin of 11.2%. In terms of the revenue, the growth for the quarter to quarter, current quarter to the last quarter, the growth for the operational revenue stand at 7.9%. The growth for the EBITDA stand at 13.1% in terms of values. In terms of the EBITDA margin, the growth for the quarter stand 102 BPS. In terms of the PBT, the growth for quarter to quarter 8.3%. We have a growth in both the sector DBS as well as into the HRO as Naozer touched upon. We have a growth of 18.2% for the DBS business, digital business services, and we have a growth of 23.6% for the HRO business for operations from the revenue. On year-on-year basis, revenue from the operation stands at 390.5 crore against the 317.2 crore for last financial year 21-22. A growth of 23.1%. On financial year-over-year basis, the EBITDA for financial year 22-23 stand at 88.4 crore versus the last financial year EBITDA of 80.2 crore, a growth of 10.2%. In terms of the EBITDA margin percentages, the EBITDA margins seen some pressure on year-over-year as Naozer touched upon, that in, when we compare year over year, there is a, some cost increase happening into the C2R ratios, into the employee cost, which has led to the some dip into the margin when we compare year to year basis. PBT for the financial year stand at 64.5 crore versus 61.2 crore for the last financial year, a growth of 5.5%. In terms of the PAT, PAT stand at 48.9 crore versus 35.6 crore for the last financial year, a growth of 37.1%. In terms of the PAT margin, margin for the current financial year stand at 12.5% versus 11.2% for the last financial year, a growth of 128 BPS. That covers all the financial results for the period. So we can move to over to you.
So we are happy to now come in the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. First question is from the line of Swecha from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving this opportunity. Sir, am I audible?
Yes, yes, please go ahead.
Okay. So my first question was, our HRO business is a higher margin business as compared to DBS. So wanted to understand what is our strategy for this vertical for next two to three years, because I think currently it accounts for 36% of our revenue. So do we expect this to increase going forward, sir?
I completely agree with you. HRO business is the higher of the two businesses in terms of margins. We continue to make relevant investments in people and technology to ensure that we could maintain and improve the growth percentage which we have seen in the recent past. And a key key metric which sort of I've already clearly mentioned is that this year, with a targeted approach of going after customer accounts, and just the sort of sheer presence in our market, we are now clearly number one in the HRO business in the managed services space. And with, being ahead of competition by 20 to 30%. The two tech upgrades, which we have been, we've been working on, finally see significant traction over the last 6 months. We are ready to go to the market with them over the next quarter or two. Our customers are excited that we are making those investments. We have customers currently, as I said, on parallel runs on user acceptance testing for the HRMS platform. So once that comes in, what I can confirm is that will definitely see for us our ability to sort of, grow the revenues of the HRO business. As far as the margins of that business are concerned, the jury is still out because there are a number of moving parts. Whilst we are trying to improve operational efficiencies, there are the costs which are sort of going to come in for the new platforms. And so we'll wait and evaluate in terms of how that comes about. But yes, I would also look at and see, see some margin uptake over the medium term, but difficult to quantify that number at this point in time.
So would this mean that today it is 36% of our revenue? So do we see it becoming close to 50% or something like, or a major portion of our revenue over next 2 or 3 years?
No, unfortunately, as I just mentioned, we don't give forward-looking statements, and there are too many moving parts at this stage to even attempt that. Sorry for that.
Understood. Okay. So then I also wanted to understand, what type of service agreements we have with our clients. Like, are these an annual contract? And, how is the billing done? Is it a fixed rate billing or an hourly basis? And an hourly basis, if you could share us the billing rates for each vertical, sir.
I'll give you an overall view in terms of how it works. So typically on an average or, predominant number of contracts are anywhere between 2 to 3 years, So to that extent, we don't have to spend effort in sort of, trying to, renew those contracts every year. It gives us an annuity base. As far as the billing is concerned, the billing is again distinct in both our businesses. So I'll take the HRO business first. And within the HRO business, again, there are two segments. For the payroll processing and the HRMS business, it is a per FT per month rate, which we sort of charge our customers. For the second part of the HRO business, which is the compliance business, we have largely a fixed fee per month, an outcome based in terms of link to the number of locations we handle. So that takes care of the HRO business. On the BPO business, largely these are FT-based contracts where we have a fixed rate per FT per month. We have a small percentage of contracts which are outcome based in terms of either hourly billing or in terms of some outcome which we may drive for our customers. So to answer your question, both businesses are very distinct kinds of billing and, in terms of what we operate at.
Okay. So I wasn't clear. DBS, how the billing is done? Sorry, your voice is...
In DBS, there are predominantly our billing is on a per FT sort of fixed rate per resource deployed per month. And for a small portion of that business, it could be on a hourly, on a time and motion basis.
Okay. So I'll just ask one last question and then I'll rejoin the queue. So wanted to understand, have we lost any key accounts in FY23?
No, none at all.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll just join back to you.
Sure. Thank you so much for your question. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Arjun Shah from KC Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So congratulations on good set of results, and also good to interact with you. My question is, being number one in the HRO business, what are a few, you know, digital initiatives that you're planning to take to stay ahead of all competition?
Yes, I would answer it in two ways. I mean, I already mentioned about, you know, the significant tech upgrade, you know, which we are sort of have embarked a couple of quarters ago, you know, and which will see the light of day in the next 6 months. These tech upgrades will ensure, you know, that you know, these platforms written on new age technologies gives us multi-country, multi-currency capabilities, gives us the ability to integrate, you know, the HRMS, you know, with the payroll engine which we run. So that will happen, all of that. So those are all the, and, you know, and reduce costs over a period of time in terms of running those engines. Even while that is happening, we continue to sort of ensure that, you know, we collect our customers' feedback, we remain best in class. So the previous engine, you know, which was SP3, I mean, to give you an example, you know, we were, I think, one of the early ones in the industry who made it mobile-enabled. So I think we had mobile-enabled it as early as maybe FY18, FY19, to give you one example. We continue to look at automation, you know, and point automations in terms of how we collect information from customers, how we process and then how we distribute that information back to the customers, including reporting and analytics. So I would like to summarize to say that yes, you know, the sales team, our operations teams remain very, very close to the customers, continue to get market feedback, and we ensure that we remain ahead of the curve.
Sure, this is helpful. I had one more question, so I just wanted to, you know, check how would the capital allocation policy for the next year look like, if you can just give us some colors on that.
Sorry, can you repeat it? What do you mean by that?
I mean, the capital allocation policy for the company for the coming year, if at all there are some colors on that.
The company is adequately capitalized. We continue to, you know, explore and see how do we sort of ensure, you know, that the sort of cash which we have in the balance sheet, you know, we sort of continue to ensure we make the best of it. We continue to look at potential acquisition opportunities, though none, you know, very significantly advanced at this point in time.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah, and of course, we would look at acquisitions, you know, which provide a strategic fit to our businesses, either give us access to new verticals, horizontals, margin accretive, all the good stuff. Yeah.
Right, sir. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you. Bye. The next question is from the line of Sugandhi Sood from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening.
Yes, hi. Congratulations on the strong momentum and thanks for taking my question. I wanted to understand on margins a little bit. You know, if I look at the headcount addition, it is largely in line with your headline growth. You know, 1 or 2 percentage points, give or take. However, you know, the margins for both HRO and DBS, in, you know, compared to last year and even, you know, historical numbers, are depressed. So, what are the one-off number factors there? I'm sorry, I could not hear you clearly, you know, when you were explaining this point earlier.
Sure, I will take up this question. So, this is Gaurav. So, you see, we have some pressure into the margin when we compare year over year, which is primarily because of the reason that we, in this particular year, we have some one-timers to be called out. So, like, as we mentioned in our investor presentation and those documents, so, like, we have some demand coming from the electricity department, where...
Linked to very old period.
Which is linked to very old period, not any recent one. So that's what it is impacting the margin on the year-over-year basis. Yeah.
And then these are largely one time. And yeah. As I also mentioned in my earlier introduction, you know, there were two trends in the HRO business, you know, which have sort of clearly impacted margins this year.
Sorry, could you repeat, you know, what those trends were?
Yeah, the two trends were that, you know, that in FY23 we seem to have, you know, I mean, hired people, you know, on the basis of the contracts which we had won, but some of the transition timelines to onboard them got elongated between, you know, 3 to 6 months. So both, and the second one was that in FY22, we had won new contracts with a significantly lower average contract value, annual average contract value compared to earlier years. So therefore, when that happens, you know, when you actually start delivering the operation, there are certain diseconomies of scale, you know, which come in, you know, and therefore, you know, we have to carry a slightly higher cost.
Sure, and you expect these factors to reverse, you know, going forward.
We started doing that. So, I mean, some of them we have already started seeing those factors coming off. Yes.
Sure, that's helpful. So, in terms of that, demand from the, you know, power department, where is it classified? Is this another expense?
Yes, it's part of the other expenses.
Sure. And also, could you give a flavor of how much of the ACV booked in the last two quarters has been recognized, and, you know, how much is expected to be recognized over the coming two quarters?
We don't have that data readily, but, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we have sort of taken, we have booked ACVs in excess of about 45 crores, and, you know, most of it will start getting realized, in the next two quarters.
Sure. And if I can just ask one more question. Traditionally the HRO business has had a significant contribution from the IT services vertical, on the client side. You mentioned that, you know, you are diversifying into new verticals in both businesses. And what are the trends that you're seeing? Because, as we know that, headcount addition has not been very strong last year for the industry, IT industry at large. So, you know, how is that impacting you, and how much is your exposure then, and what you're doing to diversify?
Sure. So, I mean, I can give you a bit of sense, of course, you know, being an industry leader and also based on some of the data which we see. So, as far as the industry specialization is concerned in the domestic space, we could, you know, sign a very large customer, a leading name in the pharma space. Yeah, the healthcare comment which I made was an international customer, a US-based customer, which we got for our BPO businesses. As far as the other payroll trends which I see, we definitely saw a bit of pressure in the e-commerce industry, in the e-commerce, you know, and the tech industry, whether it's food tech, whether it's any kind of other, B2C, retail tech, we definitely saw some pressure, you know, and then some headcount coming down.
Sure. Okay. And how is it going with the Crest Westcope in terms of being able to cross-sell our services to, you know, let's say the insurance vertical or, you know, industries represented by the Crest?
So that's been an agenda item for the last couple of years. We constantly review that both internally and, you know, with the relevant individuals in Quest. As I again mentioned briefly, I mean, the first thing we are trying to do is also, we have very, very marquee names. So as I mentioned, you know, we have, just under 600 names. So the idea is also to see how we can cross-sell within our existing customer base, between DBU and HRO and some bit of vice versa. And yes, definitely, I mean, the intention of working with Quest, you know, can only be strengthened, you know, and we review that on a regular basis. So some of that ACV which has come in is actually coming from there. So I'll take that example, you know. So as I mentioned, the pharma name which we got was actually a cross-sell reference from, you know, another Quest Corp company.
Sure, that's helpful. I'll hop back in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreya Lunkar from Quantum State. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. So, Mr. Dalal, it's nice to talk to you. Just if you can just maybe give us your outside in view as you came into this role. How do you see the HRO space? How do you see the competitive landscape changing given the winter that's going on in the PEVC world? Are you seeing some competitive pressures receding on the ground? The other part was that how should one think about it from payslip growth perspective? How do you see the next year panning out? And maybe after that, I'll follow up with a few other questions.
Sure, sure. Yeah, likewise, good to talk to you. I know that we, I think, exchange mails when this after I joined. So I'll put it this way, Shayan, you know, and my outside in view is that, you know, that the organized, employment opportunity, still remains significant headroom as far as India is concerned. Yeah. So I think if I remember some statistics right, you know, I mean, the total employment or people who are in some form of employment is about 50 crores in India, but a significant number of that are in the unorganized sector. Yeah. So the organized sector employment, you know, is a fraction of that. Within that, within that organized employment, sector, there are three trends which happen. One is there are fair number of companies who keep their payroll processes in-house, so in-source. Then there is almost 40 to 50% of the sort of outsourced market is with very, very small players in terms of, chartered accountants or, other smaller HRO players. Then you have the third set of, the third set of constituents, are the large ERP companies who provide services, on a platform basis. So if I look at the potential opportunity and the fact, a certain amount of heft comes as being the largest player in the market, I see there is enough market opportunity for us to continue to capitalize over the next couple of years. Both a move from in-source to sort of outsource. So we have seen examples in our new sales where companies who run it in-source, are happy for us to do it on a managed services basis, and otherwise, and of course, moving accounts away from competition, that's another important piece. So, I mean, I don't believe or I don't see any serious concern in terms of, what the market opportunity represents.
And if you could just, help us think forward, what all this means from our perspective, assuming the tech interventions that we are doing with SmartPay and the HRMS product, excluding the impact from that, the base business growth, how should one think about it? Because this year I believe the payslips have grown at 11%, but we understand is the environment is not as conducive as it was in the prior years. But if you could just give us some on-the-ground sense.
Yeah, Shreya, as I said, regret my inability to, give a specific forward-looking number. But I would like to say that, we would continue to be amongst the top quadrant in terms of companies in the HRO space and in terms of the growth numbers they experience. Okay. That I'm easily confident about that, that we would continue to be in the top quadrant of organizations in the space and the growth rates emanating therefrom.
Sure.
And maybe if I can add just one point in there. So as another touch upon, so in the year we have about 121 new logos added for us into the HRO domain, and we added a ACV value of close to 27 crore, which is about 25% of the total revenue for the HRO segment. So we are getting good growth adding of the new logo apart from the existing customer, which grow on their regular increase of their own employees. So that's what we see, the interaction coming in there and the growth opportunity for us in that particular domain.
That's true, Gaurav. But Gaurav, this ACV of 25 crore, one should reasonably think this is itself a revenue growth outlook for next year. Is that the way one should understand this number?
To a large extent, yes, Shay, because definitely, I would like to break this up into two parts. So on the HRO business, the actual revenue realization, for a year, comes pretty reasonably close, so I would say maybe, 75 to 80% of, what ACV may report. There is, of course, a timing difference, so when I report an ACV for FY23, depending on when I can take the customer live, so there will be some impact there. But once the customer goes live, of course, because it's linked to the number of employees, we sign up with in the ACV, so I think that comes close. But on the DPS side, sometimes we see the ACV, not necessarily translating into revenue for the year. And some of the factors which come in there could be, for example, if we sign up a sales process, where we help our customers as a cross-sell upsell. Now that, you know, there could be an intent of the customer while signing the ACV, but there are many factors which change in a year, for example, in terms of, you know, the marketing budgets, the sales budgets, the number of cross-sell leads, you know, they themselves may have. So therefore, the conversion rates for, you know, in terms of revenue versus ACV are lower in the DBU business, but higher in the HRO business.
No, that gives good clarity. Thank you. But apart from that, just to think about it further, on the competitive landscape, if there's any comment for you to offer, what are you sensing on the competitive pressure, pricing pressure that you were, what do you see on the ground?
Nothing unusual or unreasonable. And I think what we have survived and thrived over the last 20 years. So, I mean, I have no significant risk to call out on that. But yes, I mean that said, definitely, you know, so I think it's a balance sheet, you know. So, you know, when we go down the value chain in terms of, you know, the customers who have smaller number of headcount and therefore a smaller ACV which comes in, the ability to charge a slight premium there is higher than, you know, when you go after big names, you know, who may have, you know, 30,000 FTEs, 40,000 FTEs to outsource. So I think us as a management team continue to sort of balance this out depending on, you know, the markiness of the logo, you know, the industry which we may want to actually sort of, you know, put ourselves in. Because as I said earlier, you know, the smaller the logo, the operational intensity of delivering that service continues to remain high. So it's that balance we need to strive, you know, between getting that extra revenue by getting 10 smaller logos versus keeping our overall, you know, margins in perspective, you know, in terms of how that smaller logos will impact us. So we'll continue to take a call. That's more a tactical, come strategic call which we'll continue to take as we've been doing for the last so many years. But I don't see any significant concern in terms of which is any different from what we've seen in the past.
Great. And Gaurav, one question to you. You know, YOY we've seen a 10% drop in HRO margins. One, I could understand that it could be adverse revenue mix towards, given that compliance outgrew pure HRO. But the other argument that you've called out on the presentation is advanced hiring and travel cost. I would appreciate if you can give us some breakup as to how much is the real one-off as we should understand it, because I believe travel cost is going to be par for the course. So if you can just help us comprehend the breakup of the margin fall, and as a result, how much of the margin can actually claw back just by virtue of one-off that exists this year?
Certainly, maybe just to give you the flavor, so like that the one-off we called, so that represent about 20 to 30% of the gap reflected in there. And more than that, particularly for the travel and the convince, it's more of the sort where we are expanding our Manila facility, so there been some kind of, it might not be the regularly to that much level, but with the expansion of the facility there happens to be some kind of the travel where the people were traveling from here to there, and with the new expansion happening into that, which has led to some kind of the incremental travel for the quarter particularly. Otherwise, we expect the travel to be normally to be remain into the range of as a percentage of the revenue within the range in our regular trend. We don't foresee anything going beyond that.
No, Shrey, I think the biggest lever, as I mentioned, is that we are trying to see in terms of how do we sort of, you know, crunch the onboarding timelines, you know, and whilst I cannot estimate in terms of how that would, you know, how much that would contribute, but I think out of all the factors which have depressed margin this year, that is something, you know, which is highest priority for us to address.
Sure. Great. I have more questions. I'll hop back in.
Thank you. Sure. Thanks, Anshul.
The next question is from the line of Harsh Kandani from Aeneas Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have just a couple of small accounting related questions. First thing is that you mentioned in your PPT that there is a one-off revenue related to tax vouching and SME licenses. Could you just quantify how much that would be? And the second question is that there's a sharp increase in depreciation on a QOQ basis. Any kind of reason that you would like to call out?
So to take up your first question, like the one-off that we have, so I don't have that number fully handy, like to call out that the exact percentage, but as we mentioned in our presentation, so just 1 second. So particularly that the one-off we have, that's particularly from the in the tax watching and the one-off kind of the active one, like one of the activities relating to that the license renewal. So that's for one of the customer which is kind of once in a 5-year activity. It's not a kind of a regular activity which was falling into this particular quarter. And there the relatively the margin for that particular transactions are relatively thinner than the regular business. So that the one part of the one-off which is impacting the margin when we compare year-over-year basis. And apart from that, the regular, the other one we call out that which is from the department. So I think that we have factored fully into the P&L. We don't foresee more impact coming off from that in the year-over-year in the future. And particularly when we say that the depreciation and amortizations which has increased, so we do have investment which has gone into the non-current assets where there are regular purchases happen, which is more of the machines when we increase the headcount, so which is increasing kind of the depreciation in there.
Yeah, we also have an annual refresh in terms of, you know, I mean the older assets.
Yeah.
So there is some bit of the annual refresh also sitting there.
Yes, exactly.
So just on the first point, you said that that has the tax vouching bit has thin margins. That I understand, but any impact on the top line that you would like to, you know, call out, which would help us understand what's the adjusted revenue growth?
So I mean, the tax vouching is you know, is an annual feature, you know. I mean, and just to sort of put a sense of what we mean by that, so there is additional effort, you know, in terms of, you know, completing the tax computations for the year, you know, leading up to issue of Form 15, you know, at the end of the year. So that it comes in every Q4 of every year. So that explains, you know, the difference between Q3 of this year. And again, that is pretty much par for the course, you know, and nothing out of the ordinary in that sense. The other one-off, as we said, is a demand which has been made by the Tamil Nadu Electricity Board relating to, you know, a certain electricity dispute, you know, in the 2005-2008 range, you know, so significantly older dispute, where we are, basis legal opinion, you know, exploring all options, you know, whilst we have, you know, paid over, you know, some principles under protest.
And maybe to add one more point, as another mentioned, so by the renewal, is that the shop and establishment renewal, which is part of our compliance business. Tax vouching is a regular activity which falls into the fourth quarter of the financial year. So what I mean, the one-off was more of the license renewal which happens kind of depending upon the license renewal period, which is for one of our largest customer which was falling into this particular quarter.
Fair, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from Svecha from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I wanted to understand, you know, if you could give a sense of the industry size for both our DBS and the HRO vertical, and some sense around who are our key competitors, and, you know, how big is our competition in terms of revenue and margins as compared to us.
Many of the data is, you know, is not publicly available, and I can only give you a sense, you know, being in the industry for many, many years. So if you look at a NASCOM website, you know, I mean, they would quantify the IT-ITES space, you know, at three-digit billion dollars, you know. So the size at which Allsec is, I don't think that, you know, we can come to any meaningful conclusions in terms of, you know, when we see the overall industry size. As far as our competition in the international business is concerned, there are names like FirstSource, Teleperformance, you know, the typical usual suspects, you know, of the outsourcing industry. There are smaller names or mid-sized names like Fusion BPO, for example, who has, you know, who does work in the US. So that's a part of the competition landscape, you know, as far as, you know, some of the US customers are concerned. As far as HRO is concerned, I'll go back again to sort of what I mentioned, that the size, you know, I mean, the ability to grow that business, I think, is inherent in the way, you know, the employment is structured within the country, you know, I mean, so you'll continue to shift movement from the informal sector to the formal sector. Within the formal sector, which we address, hopefully we'll see movement from, you know, the smaller time players, you know, to the more organized players. So I think it's a mix. It'll be difficult for me to put a number in terms of what that market size is. But what I can definitely say is, you know, that at the stage of growth which we are in AllSec, I think there is tremendous market opportunity, and I don't think we should worry about, you know, whether we'll be constrained by the availability of a market to sort of deal with for both our businesses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so another thing I was, you know, if I look at our quarterly run rate, you know, we've been continuously growing quarter on quarter our revenues. You know, from June 2020, we were somewhere around 64 crores of revenue. And then to that, we have scaled up to 108 crores kind of a revenue in this quarter. So, just wanted to understand, you know, what is the base that we can assume? Would 108 crores per quarter is the base run rate quarterly that we should assume? Or do you think it's going to go up every quarter sequentially? You know, so I want to understand, you know, how should we look at it, because we've been growing every quarter sequentially.
Yeah, so again, as I said, giving any number would be a forward-looking statement, but what I would like to highlight is that in this 108, as Gaurav mentioned, and I don't have the number readily available, but there is a set of one-off there. But yes, I think I can make an overall statement, you know, that you know, the management team will definitely endeavor to ensure, you know, that you know, the growth momentum continues. We have made investments in people, technology in the recent past, and we'll try to capitalize in terms of how do we ensure, you know, that those investments start paying off, you know, in the near to medium term. So difficult for me to put a number, but yes, I think definitely the intent is to sort of continue to sort of ensure, you know, that you know, we do revenues. You know, and we don't disappoint our, you know, our stakeholders in terms of the revenues we generate.
Okay. And so can I ask one more question?
Sure, please go ahead.
Okay. So I wanted to also understand, you know, if you could help us know what kind of industry verticals do we cater to in DBS and HRO both? And which industry actually takes the biggest pie for us in each of these verticals?
Yeah, so I think in DBS, BFSI, that is banking, financial services, insurance, and adjunct industries like fintech, you know, I mean, is our largest industry vertical. As far as DBS is concerned, as far as the HRO business is concerned, it's a mix. So we have a good, you know, mix of IT, you know, which is one of our, you know, largest verticals. We do a lot of work for retail, we do, you know, some work for manufacturing, as I said, we have entered pharma. So, you know, so the industry verticalization is a lot more, you know, wider spread and balanced in the HRO business.
Okay. Okay, sir. So I have a few more questions, I'll rejoin the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sugandhi Sood from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the follow-up. So just referring to your, you know, historic margins in the payroll business, that was before the integration of Cochise, you know, it used to range in the 40 to 43% range. And, you know, I'm, if I just do a imputed number for the compliance business, you know, and if I just try to, you know, reconcile the kind of margins we are reporting, have we seen a significant, you know, like 2 to 4% dip in our HRM margins, or is just a quarterly dip, both in terms of the quality of nature of business done in compliance itself and the, you know, percentage of compliance is in the HR?
Again, sir, I would again go back to what I've been saying almost through the call, you know, that yes, I mean, in FY23, we have seen, you know, a blip in the HRO business margins. We are looking at it, we are seized of it, and we'll see in terms of how we can get some of that back. As far as the split between, you know, HRO and compliance margins are concerned, I don't have that readily available.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So, apart from the logic about the size of deals and operating leverage, is that something that we've experienced this year, and is it a significant difference from, the size of our customer base was in the past? I mean, was it more fragmented in the fragmented this year and not so fragmented in the past?
No, definitely what we acquired in FY22 was more fragmented than in the past. I don't have the past data readily available. As I also mentioned, that we have seen some of that again consolidating in FY23. So, you know, I mean, the FY23 average ACVs, you know, are more than what we booked in FY22. And we'll continue to explore in terms of how quickly we can onboard these customers. Over a period of time this year.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Sure. So thank you once again for the opportunity and for the sort of, you know, the time given to us and some of the very stimulating questions, you know, that were given to us. What I want to reassure, everybody on this call is that these are obviously very, very exciting times for Allsec. Yeah? And your company is well poised to capitalize on the market opportunities, which I sort of briefly described, as also some of the investments which you have made in, you know, people, process and technology over the past few years. We'll continue to make the right investments. Yeah? We'll continue to assess, we'll continue to ensure that we don't lose out on any emerging market opportunity, whether domestically or internationally for the BPO business. We'll continue to make the right investments to ensure that we further accelerate our growth strategy in the near future. With this, we would like to close the call and look forward to interacting with all of you again in H2. Have a nice remainder of the day and week. Thank you so much. Thank you.
On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.